Hey, C9HO listening.
SAC 389.
C9OVO,
sorry about that. Wrong frequency.
N9OKA, K9UOMI.
Hey, C9HO listening.
W9DLP Mobile 9 listening.
W9DLP from KB9BSK.
Yeah, go ahead, BSK.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, are you back in the driveway now?
Yeah, my wipers, when I got out here earlier, they worked fine. Now they're sort of having a fit. They're going up a little, an inch down an inch. I know one thing, I should have put my gloves on. I'm in here trying to feel my fingers again.
So I can park in the driveway, right?
Yeah, I don't need to go anywhere. We're good.
Okay, thank you.
This is W8MEL.
W8MEL, this is K8LIR. W8MEL, This is K8LIR.
Hey, I worked on my pickup the right microphone. How you doing, Gil?
Okay, I'm on a different transmitter here. Are we on 220?
Yeah, we are. I picked up the mic for my 2-meter radio. Holland just had a net, so I was on there.
What repeater is this one?
This is N8 John repeaters. JPR. Get my mind here.
I found this one by accident. I got this transceiver that I bought at the Hamfest last summer in Hudsonville. And I don't know how to use it yet, but I think I'm on the right mode here, and I'm not on the VFO mode. I guess it's working. I'm working into a real small antenna.
Well, it appears to be working. I'm running, I got a mag mount sticking on my metal roof. I've got a metal porch roof in the back. So I've got a little 220 whip sitting back there. I run cable TV wire up to the antenna.
Okay, you're coming in loud and clear. Full quieting. And this is the first time I talked to anybody on this unit that I bought. I thought I'd get it out since there's nothing else to do tonight. And it's cold, like 10 degrees.
Yeah, it's good to stay. And I was out for a short time to settle in the driveway. It took me less than 15 minutes. Did it by hand. If it gets deep, then I get out the snowblower. Or if the snowplow goes through and falls into my driveway shut, I don't shovel that. But, yeah, it's good to stay. We'll probably Wednesday, weather permits, we'll probably go to American Legion 208. That's the one on 44th, and then I think they got music at the Moose. We might end up at the Moose later.
I didn't know what was going on at 208 on a Wednesday. Wait, tomorrow is Tuesday. Okay. That's when I meet the veterans over at the Moose around 7:38 o'clock. And I don't do too much. Maybe get to 154, but I haven't been at the 208. That's too far to drive in this weather.
Yeah, it might be too far for us. We'll have to watch the weather. It's supposed to get real bad tonight, the day after 10 o'clock. I can see on the radar there's clouds coming through. Supposed to get snow and wind and on. My son's a motor coach driver. He's supposed to go to Washington, D.C., but I think he's just going to be a passenger. It's supposed to be a training session is how to, where to go when they get there. They're going to do a bunch of D.C. trips, so he's been out driving in this horrible weather.
Yeah, I'm just about a couch potato in this kind of weather. I've got to go to the VA out there by on the East Belt Line. Just north of the intersection at 28th Street for some checks for my heart or something. I don't know. I'm not too excited about driving over there with all that traffic.
Well, you did it before. Getting older, you just get afraid. My problem is my eyesight. I can drive when it's when there's snow on the road, at least when the roads are clear and then there's snow, I can tell where the edge of the road. I have a real hard time when it's rainy and no snow, or it's hard to see the side of the road. Just so eyesight's getting bad when I get old.
Yeah, I know how it is. Okay, I looked at this thing up on my key here. 224.92 was 88 MEY. Whereabouts is this repeater located? Is this like 92nd Street Hill?
I don't know. I think the last time it's in somebody's home on Standale, but I don't know it. And I think it repeats. It's tied into this repeater. But I haven't talked to the guy's name is Steve that has that repeater.
Right. Yeah, I looked it up here on the sheet. I got it last year. And Steve Howell Rison or whatever. Just by chance, I heard you on there. And I thought, well, I'll key it up and see if it will work into this repeater.
Well, good that you did. This is W8ML for ID. Yeah, this one's quiet most of the time. This one is linked to the other side of the state. I talked to a guy who works at the TV station over there. I can't think of his call. And it's also linked down to South Bend. And I run into a guy who does broadcast engineering work. That's where I got started in broadcasting 50 years ago. So he knows some of the same people I do or know. And it used to be linked into Hammond and other places, but there's just not a lot of people on any of these repeaters. I was on a Holland Nest and only three people checked in.
Yeah, okay. I was I've been monitoring IRA, and there's hardly anybody on that repeater during the day or any other time. When I first got on and found out that I had a ham license again, there was all kinds of people on. Then all of a sudden it just dumped within about 2 months.
Yeah, I took the bride to the doctor's appointment. I was at Hudsonville, and threw my call out to all the repeaters. You got on the link, and there's a guy who came on there. I was his first contact, at least on the repeater, from Big Rapids. And I lived up there 35 years ago. I put on the first repeater. It was all tubes, except for the rectifiers. The rectifiers were dials, whether solid state dials, but that's been a long time ago.
Yeah, I remember tubes. I still got I got an Apache that I never used, and I've got Comanche and whatever it is to go along with that on heat kits for my high frequency stuff. But ever since I moved over here, I'm afraid to even power it up because I'm afraid I'm going to blow caps.
Yeah, the something old's been sitting for a while. I built that repeater in Big Rapids, and I used one of those old round picture tubes. I took a transformer out of a junk TV and made a power supply. And I did a test and put a key down transmitter, had it tuned up for 50 watts, came out back in the room. I worked in audio visual. Smoke was coming out of the cabinet. So I go over there and look, and smoke went away. It was still working. Finally, a coworker come over and says, "What's going on?" I said, "Well, something went up in smoke, but I guess I didn't need it." Well, then he told me he blew the cabinet full of cigarette smoke.
I'm afraid of flying. I've got a couple of heat kit power supplies, and I got an RCA supply too, and I haven't used those things for about 20 years, and I'm afraid, and they got solid state rectifiers, and I'm still afraid I'm going to blow caps.
Yeah, it could be. My first paid gig, I worked at Kroger's, and their public address system went out, and they took it to the local repair, and they said, well, they couldn't get parts for it. And I looked at it, and that's what happened. The caps dried out and took the power transformer out. So my spare parts back then, I had an old black and white television set. They stole the transformer and put in solid-state diodes and went down to the TV shop and bought a capacitor. And that's my first paid gig. After that, I didn't do any freebies. So I got paid $25 for fixing that thing.
I can remember when I wasn't even hamming it. I was interested in electronics, and I used to tear TVs apart. And save all the caps and resistors that I could tear out of them, and transformers. And I can remember getting blown to the other side of the room when I was towing something up, and I touched the wrong thing, I think the high voltage on something, and it blew me across the room. That was back when I was about 14 or 15.
This is W8MEL. Yeah, I worked up at Ferris and had a desk, and I had this one guy. He was just an audiovisual person. He was an engineer. He'd always come in and he'd always pick up stuff at my desk, play with it or into my stuff. So finally I charged up a capacitor, several hundred volts, and I laid it on the desk, hoping he'd pick it up. I guess he knew better. He didn't want to pick it up. Otherwise, he'd give him a big jolt, but he never picked it up.
I had some powered up, and then checking them out, I put the high voltage on there, and then took the alligator clips off, and didn't think too much about it until maybe a week later. I happened to touch the positive and negative, and a whack. I got a good shock out of it. It was a learning experience when I was like 14 to 15 years old.
This is W8MEL. And that's how you learn things. You burn things up. And we had a coworker put an electrolytic in backwards and it blew up. It was all of a sudden, bang, it goes off. And so your lesson always make sure you put them in the right direction. And we had a guy I worked with. We had Klystrons, great big tubes, and the filament voltage was 28 volts. So he put the Simpson across that. I thought the filament, something was wrong. Well, this one had a negative 2,000 volts on it. It just blew that Simpson all to pieces.
Yeah, I used to work on a Channel 13 transmitter, and I helped work on a Channel 8 transmitter when everything was analog. And all these transmitters now operate with plug-in modules to get their power up with a bank of a whole bunch of modules to make it. And then they got to put all kinds of filters on there because of the spurious radiation.
Yeah, my sales day, we had this is for the UHS, I still think they're using Klystron, Klystrote, I don't know the technology anymore, but we had one of the Toshiba, and and had a whole bunch of 100-watt modules, and they'd combine, and you could pull a module out while you're on the air and put one in, and it would tell you which one's wrong, and that's where the guy, well, get that, and he says, I'd like to be a transmitter engineer, and they won't need you anymore, because they usually need, back then, you need a transmitter engineer, because there's always something to fix on it.
Yeah, I worked on 13s when the finals had the filaments burn off. Filament leads burn off with double lot wires going to them for the filaments. And I had to turn my main transmitter off, the PA off, and work right off the exciter on here. I can't remember if it was video side or audio side. I think it was the video side I had a fix. It was one heck of a day that I had there on a Saturday. And I couldn't get the other engineers in there to help me. I guess they wanted to teach me a lesson, or maybe Dale Walters a lesson.
He worked at Channel 29. I ran into him. He worked worked there as a transmitter engineer, and he was a GE, and they just had him sitting out in the middle of the room, the side of the room with this transmitter. There was a loud noise going on, so the engineers got money together and built a booth so they could close it in and shut the door. And he said he fell asleep. I worked transmitter engineer, and he fell asleep. He fell asleep leaning back in the chair. He woke up, and there was a mouse on his belly looking at him.
I can remember working in 1978 when we had the big snowstorm and ice storm and everything. And I had to drive up to Grant from Granville. Oh, boy. And then there was a chunk of ice above the reflector for the microwave. And that came down and fell on the back of the reflector, and we lost the microwave signal. And George Lyons went up for grabs.
Yeah, I remember George. I remember coming into the TV station in Elkhart, and we had a microwave. It would shoot up in a reflector and go off the transmitter, and I remember sweeping the snow off, because if you didn't keep the snow off there, the signal would get noisy. So I remember coming into work, and I'd always sweep it off, and during my shift, as I go out there and check to make sure, and they did away with that. You can't. They put in the new transmitter, and they couldn't do that reflector because they're using the same frequencies for satellite. So you had a point to point. So I could build an analog TV station, but a digital one, I have no idea. This is W8MEL.
You know, this is K8LI. I got out of the broadcasting business as things were switching from analog to digital. I didn't want to know anything about digital. It was too complicated, and everything was prioritized on equipment. You couldn't even fix it. You had to just send in the modules. Like you were talking about, you know, that's about all you could do. This is K8LIR with W8MEL.
Well, that's pretty much. I worked at a factory as a electrician, electronic technician, whatever. And usually, if a module change, although one time is I had something, and anyway, the relay wasn't closing, and I figured out that the, and they had a relay, and I figured it had a, I figured out that the, they put a diode across that I call the flyback, and I actually had a 1N914. I found one on my bench from spare parts, and I had someone else. I just found the problem. I had to leave. But normally, is you just get another module, put it in. Very few people have soldering irons anymore. I got one here, but I haven't used it for, you know, for a long time.
Yeah, that's like this transceiver I bought for, I don't know, $80 or whatever it was at the Hamfest. I got the operator's manual, but I have no schematics or anything or part numbers on how to fix it if it goes down. I guess you just throw it away and buy another one.
This is W8ML. Yeah, I got a MFJ tuner, and the switch went bad. Of course, when you do that, you got to tear the whole thing apart. And I've got the switch. I finally got the right one, and it's been sitting here for a long time. It was free. It's my last radio I bought on eBay, and it came in. The connector was broken off, so they gave it to me for free. And I fixed the connector, and I had to sell that or donate it. There's a guy in Holland trying to start a ham club. Maybe I'll help him start a ham club.
I don't know. Ham radio's not like it was before. There's a couple of receivers, helicopters, that I recapped the whole receiver. One was the 24, and the other one was the 20. And, you know, you used to have a cue multiplier and stuff with it when you had just had that tube set to pull out all the signals when you're working as a novice. So that gave me something to do. But I don't know. It feels different being a ham now, just a walkie-talkie or a transceiver like I got here.
Well, I bought a, I replaced it with a Kenwood TS-140. And that was a step up from my Heathkit. My Heathkit was an SB-30, it was a 301, that was a tube and a transmitter. And this one is, that was quite a step up. This one here, it's got a little touch screen. What I kind of miss is I don't have any tuning the preamp and tuning the finals. I mean, it just, it's got a built-in antenna tuner. It's got a touch screen. And actually, I put a bigger screen on. It's only got a small screen, but it just, it probably take me a long time just to figure out what all the buttons and stuff does.
No, I'm reading this manual for this transceiver. It's got 2 meters, 224, 440. And the other channel that's on there. This is the first time I even talked to anybody on it. I fired it up last summer and then put it away until today, tonight, because there wasn't anything on TV or anything else. So I thought I'd shoot around, see if I could figure out how to use it between the VFO and the channel type playing out of here. Because the guy's got frequencies on here. And I was looking for IHYs out here, but he didn't have that program then. And the guy was from Zealand or Holland that I bought it from. I thought he'd at least have IHYs 440 out here.
Yeah, this is W8MEL. Yeah, is maybe just wasn't interested or I've got on I got EchoLink, I got Chirp, and then I got a TID radio handheld is I can program via my cell phone, and it connects via Bluetooth, and then it figures out where I'm at, and it brings up the local repeaters, and it programs it that way. I had it down in Arizona. I haven't reprogrammed it here, but I don't need you don't need a cable and all that kind of stuff with it. You just plug it in, and it's programmed a little bit different. All these radios here, I need a cable to plug in to reprogram them. I haven't reprogrammed them. I got one in the car. I need to add something to it. Then I have to take a laptop out there, and actually I can bring it in here. So I've got a power plug, so I can plug it in. This is W8MEL.
This is K8LIR. Yeah, I don't know how to program this thing. It says maybe I should use a computer. I don't have a computer, and I'm not on the Internet. But I was screwing around with my phone, and I saw EchoLink. So I called up EchoLink. But they wanted me to prove that I got a ham license. I don't know how to do that except, you know, look it up on the ARRL thing or the FCC thing. That's on the Internet.
Well, I think you just enter your call sign in there. I don't know if you need anything. I just renewed my license here this last week. That's kind of an ordeal. Gail, she renewed hers in December. She still is a novice. She can talk on 220, and she can talk on part of 10 meters, but she's not interested, so she didn't like me a whole lot more 30 years ago.
Okay. I did mine through the computer 10 years ago. We called it up on the computer, on the Internet, and I filled out all the stuff, and I printed it out, and I mailed it into the FCC, but I never heard back. That's why I didn't know if I had my license. But I think there was another time I was... 20 years before this, I was with a KHCYV at Sal 8, and we renewed our licenses about the same time. And I think we sent them in right on the Internet without having to mail anything in. And it wasn't that hard. You're telling me it's an ordeal? Maybe I'll have to get together with you and do mine here around... August or something. That's when my license is coming due.
Yeah, you have to have a FRN number. You can get that on the ARRL site. And the site isn't straightforward. So I want to redo. ARRL sent me something, but it took me a while to figure it out. So it should be, I want to redo, and you got to find it. And I did Gail's in December and mine, so I'm good for another 10 years. I probably won't redo again, but like I said, it's not straightforward. It's I want to redo, and you got to have passwords and all that kind of stuff. They want to make sure it's you.
Okay, now, I did have my old license back from 20 years ago, and then I had it, and I lost it with all my other paperwork around here, but I've looked it up on the ARRL, and I can see the FRN number and the other numbers that I need, I better write them down. And see if I can renew mine coming up again. That would probably be the last time I renew because I'm getting old.
Well, you know, my commercial license, I had the first class license, and that's a lifetime. I didn't have to renew, and they did away with that. I don't know if you remember when they did away with that. I worked hard to get it. I got mine in 1968, and all of a sudden it's not required. I just say it's I got it hanging up here on the wall, I think. You know, it covers up a hole in the wall, I guess. I got SBE certification at one time. I don't think that's worth a whole lot either.
I've got my first class. I got mine in 1961, the first one. And I was only 19 years old when I got that. And I was going to go for my extra class. But I didn't get my code up to 20 words, and I almost got my code up. I had about 22 words a minute, and I could pass the written okay because it was close enough to the first-class ticket license that I had. And then I got started flying, and then my ham radio stuff got forgotten.
Yeah, I looked. I had to look at my ham license is in a picture frame, the old one. I've got the new license. I brought it down here somewhere. I have to put it there and hang it on the wall. Well, I'm gonna let you go. I spent a day as I've been putting floor tile down. I had a leak. I had to tear up all the tile. It was a vinyl plank, so I put it back down and did the trim today. The old bones just don't work as good, so we'll let you go. Catch you later on this repeater, is if you want to monitor that. And there's not much activity on there. I haven't talked to John for a while, and I run into a guy down in South Bend. We'll talk to you later. This is W8MEL. I'll listen out.
Okay, now, this is K8LIR. I either try to get this thing on John's repeater, 4449, and I just wanted how the audio sounded on this one. So, good to make a contact finally with this unit. I'm going to keep screwing around here and see if I can find out, if I can find the IRA repeater on here and John's IEY repeater. Let me know how my audio sounds. You sound good, Mel, and good. I'm glad you came back. K8LIR clear.
Yeah, your audio sounds good. 73s. W8.
Okay, 73s to you and to Gail. Talk to you later. K8LIR is clear and standing by.
K89HAY mobile.